Lifestyle matters. It's more than money.
I'm Faisal Carmally, my co-host here, Dave Popwich. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, Faisal. How about you?
Not bad. It's end of first quarter.
It was a good end. It was a good quarter.
Good end.
Good quarter. Yeah.
It was a good quarter.
That's what I was trying to say. It was a good quarter. We're going to talk a little bit about, we'll talk about that. We're also going to talk about the global economic situation. I mean, so on the heels of what we've just said, of course, we came off the last quarter that was really scary for a lot of people. Then we come off the best quarter, right? What can people expect? What happened? Let's talk a little bit about what we see going forward. We're going to have a terrific guest to help us at a global level understand what's going on. We had some good numbers from Canada on Friday, so we'll talk a little bit about that as well.
Yeah, and so it was a very, very interesting week. Let's start off with there was a lift in the market.
Well, hang on. Before we even talk about markets, I want to tease people here because we're in the middle of tax season.
Ah.
Okay?
Okay.
So I want people to stick around because in the last segment of this, we're going to talk about tax preparation, what to expect, some of the common questions we're getting, right? How to prepare your team to make sure you're getting the right, best tax strategy for you.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Is that cool?
That's going to be at the bottom half of the hour, so we'll definitely look forward to that.
Yeah.
I was trying to be cute by saying there was a lift in the market.
I know. It was. I don't know if anybody caught it, but it was very clever.
Very clever, I thought.
Lift. So Lift started trading.
They started trading on Friday.
Yeah.
Jumped out of the market pretty high right out of the get-go, and the buzz is out there. This is a $24 billion, $30 billion company and hasn't made a penny in profit.
Well, and I mean, this is they beat Uber to the market, but Uber should be IPOing at some point.
Shortly,
so a lot of expectations building around that in the initial public offering.
Market. And this is going to be these are the unicorns they keep on talking about how these big companies that come out and how they're going to perform. And so the buzz goes out there whenever there's an IPO or initial public offering, the buzz goes out there. And so, what are your thoughts about buying IPOs?
Thoughts about buying IPOs. I guess it depends on what the company is. Like you made an interesting comment about Lyft, right? There's a lot of value being baked into Lyft on future earnings because they don't have any effectively right now, right? So, I think it depends, Faisal. I guess my answer is a bit of a hedge here, but it depends on what the criteria is for adding a security to a portfolio.
Correct.
Right? So, you're subject to whatever they price it at. You saw Facebook as a good example come out of the gates and just get pounded.
Yep.
Right? We see Lyft on initial up. So, these are not freebies. They're not layups. You got to do your homework.
And you have to understand the structure of the company.
Yeah.
For example, Lyft, the shares that were issued out were secondary shares. There's primary shares owned by the initial owners.
Well, a lot of that in the technology space, right?
And a lot of that in the Canadian space.
The Canadian
space,
yeah.
A lot of it in Canada, there are multiple class shareholders out there.
Right.
And you may not have voting rights. You
right.
may not have the same rights as other shareholders do. So you have to do your homework on these things.
Correct.
You can't just hear the buzz and then go buy into it and hope it works out because then you're speculating, you're not investing.
Yeah, and I suppose if that's appropriate and suitable for you, then again, it comes down to suitability. One of the fundamental pillars of our business is suitability, is that particular security suitable for you at this point in your life based on your objectives and so on and so forth. So keep that in mind when you're thinking about these things. We're going to finish this quarter probably, or we finished the quarter with a massive lift this quarter. It was maybe the strongest quarter in 10 years.
You said lift.
Yeah.
Yes. So,
but wait a second. We just had a terrible quarter
Terrible quarter last quarter, correct? Especially in the U.S. market. Mm-hmm. And this is the best quarter in the last 10 years on the S&P 500 index.
Right.
So that's a very, considering where we are economically, how long it's been since the last recession, so on, valuation, so on and so forth, it just kind of reinforces not to market time.
Well,
because you don't know when you're going to have these best quarters.
Well, market time. I want to even, so we can talk about that, but let's talk about the emotional decision making that's taking place, right? So, you got scared last quarter and you sell out in December, right? Let's say you sold out on the 24th. You hit the very low. And then you missed, if you weren't back in by the 27th, you missed the very best trading day. And then if you didn't get back in until late in the quarter, you missed the best quarter in 10 years in the S&P 500. So market timing and emotional decision making are so closely tied together. And they, I'm not trying to diminish the emotional impact that the volatility in the markets have.
Yep.
Right? And we've talked about this a lot. But gosh, if you're not properly structured, if you don't have a proper strategy that'll allow you to stay invested through the ups and the downs of these markets, most people will fall subject to selling at the lows and buying at the highs, or some, you know, close to that. And it's permanent damage you're doing to yourself along the way.
Correct. I think one of the things that people should be asking their advisors, or if they're a do-it-yourself investor, the question of why. Why should I stay in this strategy? Why should I hold on to this investment? What the question of why gets to the root of the strategy that needs to be implemented to reach some sort of goal. And failure to ask why to your advisor now is hoping it will work out. And when it doesn't, there's going to be huge disappointment. Or if there's volatility, there'll be huge disappointment. So answering the question of why should we hold on to this? For example, we never changed our U.S. exposure during the downturn in the last quarter.
Right. And you know, we took some criticism for that from some people. Now, we did send out some communication ahead, conversations about why we were doing that,
yep.
Right? What we felt that the U.S. Fed policy around interest rates were going to be, and the outcome around key assumptions around the Chinese trade relationship, which were the big factors sort of influencing the market,
yep.
Right? So unless the strategy was to be a market timer and say, here's the peak and here's the trough, then, you know, you're asking your question about why is critical. Why are we staying the course on this? Here are the key assumptions under which we are investing. If those assumptions are different from you and your advisor, you have that conversation.
Absolutely.
And you can adjust on that. But unless you have, and we did this show, I don't know how long it was ago now, but on market timing, unless you have the ability to pick the five best and the five worst trading days in any 20-year period, market timing is going to be a very, very difficult proposition.
Correct. You know what was very interesting this week was the change in the gross domestic product in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
We went from a zero fourth quarter GDP
right
to January being a positive number, surprisingly positive. Even after the fact, this was the largest curtailment of oil that we have seen in a long time in Canada and or in Alberta especially, and it still gave us positive numbers on the GDP. So that shot up our Canadian dollar versus the U.S. It brought down some value of bonds. Mm-hmm. It made people think about our economy in a different way. Maybe we're going to might have an interest rate hike down the road. You know, these different things are coming up again. And every time there's a good number, people think interest rate hikes. Every time there's a bad number, they're not going to do anything.
Yep.
But I think this just shows how shaky our economy is, and how in Alberta, we're heading into election time where we're getting different views from each of the parties, that that the economy only feels right when you see people have jobs, when you see the value of your home go up, because that's the true indicator for most people when it comes to the economy. You can have any number you want, plus 5%, but if people are not getting jobs, it's hard to have a plus 5% without jobs. But if you don't have jobs and you don't see people getting the housing value going up, it's going to be a tough go. So I think in Alberta, people are going to feel that way. And I think in this leading up to election time, until we feel that things are going to be better, you're going to see a lot of volatility.
Yeah. Well, and data points. I want to talk about data points for a second, trading around individual data points versus trends.
Okay.
Right? So, you know, our process is on a quarterly basis, we're reviewing economic data.
Yeah.
Because any one particular month, you can have a surprise above or below, and it, you know, it affects markets trading on that particular month or day. But the idea is you have to pick months and trends. So I get lots of questions, you know, in the news and the press, the headlines have been the inverted yield curve. Okay, lots of questions about that. Does this mean we're going to a recession right away? You know, it's one of several factors.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it tends to be a leading indicator, but you got to remember there's some complexity even in that particular metric. So you got to be very careful about responding to the individual data points. You have to have an economic dashboard, as we call it, right?
Yeah.
And make sure that the trend, okay, not one data point, but the trend is moving in any particular direction to be adjusting your strategy.
Could you imagine if people reacted to their health or to a health procedure based on one data point?
Right. Right.
So why would you impact your financial health on one data point?
Right.
And that's where
that's the volatility, right? Okay, enough said about that. Listen, we're going to talk to Shea Shatria next. We're going to talk some global economics, right? So we said we came off this terrible quarter last quarter. We've got the best quarter this quarter. What can we expect in the future? Okay? Stick around for that. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.